to the full, it starts overflowing into the lives of others. It's one thing to possess the joy, to have it, to believe it. But when you got so much in you that people start feeling it on them, now they start filling up with joy. You know, they always think of that saying, you know, is a glass half full or half empty? Well, it depends. Are you filling it up or are you pouring it out? It matters, doesn't it? It matters. If it's half empty, that means you're pouring it out. But if it's half full, that means you're filling it up. These things, verse 25, have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly to the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed. Believed. There's nothing like the word believed. You are only going to go as high as you believe. Amen? If you don't believe it, you ain't going any farther. You don't get in your car thinking, well, it might get me to town. No, you get in there and you turn on the key and you put it in drive. Because why? You believe that it can take you to town. Unless it's one that you're remodeling and it's an old clunker. Amen? But 99.9% of the time when you get in that car, you believe by faith that it's going to get you to town. Verse 28, he said, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, since we're talking about fathers today, there's nothing like going to our Father, who is the King. Not a King. He's not a King. He is the King. He is the King of all kings. Now, the world will classify kings on the earth and call them rulers and overseers and the leaders of the country. You know, you got queens of certain country, and you got kings, and you've got princes. But he is the King of all kings. There is none higher than our Father. There is none higher than the one that we serve, the one who sent his Son Jesus to die for you. He cares about your money, about your finances. He cares if you're struggling financially. He wants you to be the overcomer. He wants you to be full of joy and full of money. Amen? There ain't nothing like being rich, but there ain't nothing like being broke. Amen? There ain't nothing on the earth that's like being broke. But there ain't nothing like being wealthy. Amen? If the atheist and the devil worshipers can do it, why can't we? Why can't we have finances? Don't let religion talk you out of being financially an overcomer. Amen? Don't let religion talk you out of that. If you're new here and you've been told your whole life that you can never get ahead or that you're supposed to give all your money away, you're a darn fool for believing that. Amen? Don't believe that trash. And the person that's preaching it to you is a fool too. He has not read the Bible because the Bible does not talk about being broke. And then it's good for you to be broke. He talks about money and finances and gold and prosperity more than he talks about faith. Now, if he talks about it more than faith, it must be a big deal to God. Amen? It's a big deal. He wants you to be an overcomer. Be full of joy and full of prosperity. Amen? There is nothing wrong with you having nice things. There is nothing wrong with that. Nobody wants you to be broke. And I'm pretty sure you don't want to be broke. None of us want to live under bridges and wake up every day not knowing what kind of sign we're going to have to hold up and what intersection we're going to stand at to try to get people to give to us because we don't know how to get it for ourselves. I see that all over Austin. I see people, I do see some that are homeless, but I see people out there wearing brand new clothes holding up signs. Get a job, amen? Quit relying on people in cars to hand you money. Get a job. Do something productive. God didn't design you to be like that. He designed us to go into all the world. How are you going to go? Well, it's going to take money, isn't it? Amen? You can't do it with no money. Or you're going to have to rely on somebody to haul you around everywhere. Amen? Y'all come give with a big round of applause today. Be excited about your giving today. Come on up. Come on, Janet.
be here today. I'm so thankful for the dads. I'm so thankful. I had such a good dad. And I have to testify just for a minute. My daddy, I have a twin sister. And then we have a little brother and sister that's 11 and 12 years younger than us. And it was kind of different because when me and my twin sister growing up, all we did was went to church. When my little brother and sister were growing up, my daddy became a little bit distracted and deceived for a little while, so they didn't know that same thing. But praise the Lord, he came back. He came back. And I have to say this morning, 5 days before he died, suddenly, without any warning, he led my baby sister to the Lord. Never too late. I'm just a ball bag. It's okay. It's never too late. It's never too late to come to the Father. He loves you right where you are today. No matter what you've done, no matter what you intend to do, God loves you right where you are today. And he's a chain breaker. Amen. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. A little bit louder, baby. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. And you're trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. Y'all sing with me. You got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. Y'all worship the Lord. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. You believe it and you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. You believe it, yes, testify. You receive it, yeah, if you can feel it. Somebody testify, yeah. You believe it, and you receive it, and you can feel it. Somebody testify. Well, you got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. Savior, if you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, you need freedom, a saving. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker. Yes, he is. He's a chain breaker. My Jesus, my Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Come on, chain breaker.
Amen.
Amen. Woo. Yeah. Somebody testify. Amen. Hallelujah. Ain't God good?
Yes. I'm so thankful.
Yes. He does. Amen. I agree. I mean, the thing about our God is it doesn't matter how thick the chains are.
That's
how long you've wore them. What color the chains are. You know how hip they are, how bad they look, no matter what you did, no matter how long you've been living with condemnation. He's a chain breaker. He's a way maker. Because there's some people, they walk in the desert for years and years and years and years, and they don't know which way to go. Can you imagine being the Israelites and going around the same desert and same mountain for 40 years? Over and over and over. And they're like, guys, haven't we been by here before? Moses is like, no, we haven't been here before. Nope. Yeah, that mountain just looks like the one we saw a week ago. It's not the same one. Yeah, but we have this stone we put up over here, didn't we? We put this stone here that says, you know, Moses was here, 1922. No, that wasn't me. That wasn't the one. Yeah, we've all been around the mountain. And if you're Sean, you've climbed mountains, you know. You've been hooked by bulls and... There ain't nothing like serving our King, though. He's a good father. Oh, man. I'm telling you, if you got issues in life, He can fix them. I don't care if you're a father or you're trying to be a father or used to be a father. You know, if you've dealt with issues in the past, He can fix them. He's that kind of God. He wants to take care of you. He cares about your problems. If you're new here, He cares about your problems. At this church, you're going to learn that our God cares about your problems. He's not so big that you can't talk. What's the use in having Him as God if you can't talk to Him? Amen? Why would he be your God if you can't come to Him? Why would He be your King if you can't come to Him? If He can't be a part of your life, why should He be your God? If we can't make this Bible life applicable, then what do we need it for? Amen? Before I start preaching, kids, you're dismissed with a big round of applause. And youth too, right? Youth is out. Youth and kids. Had a good vacation Bible school. I heard we had as many adults as we had kids, which is good, you know. If adults need to come to VBS, by golly, you better get there. It's not reserved just for the kids. If you need to go to church and you only get to go to vacation Bible school, then by golly, get there. Amen? Go. I mean, we don't discriminate. We'll take all of you. VBS, it's for all ages. Amen? It's just geared towards kids mainly. But as I roll out of what I was talking about into what we're talking about today, I want to say it to you again. God cares about your problems. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today, the Holy Ghost, our deliverer, our teacher, our mentor, the one who guides us around the mountain, the one who gets us out of the valley and into the mountaintops. The title of this message today is Define Who You Are. You need to define it. You need to settle it today. Who are you? Who are you as a person? Today we will define who we are, and we will settle it. Who we are determines our behavior, our reactions. How many of you know that's true? Isn't it important to know who you are? Because the who you are determines how you respond to circumstances. Who you are determines how you get through the obstacles and how you are able to leave the valley and climb the mountain. Because if you don't have the confidence to climb the mountain and get to the mountaintop, if you don't know who you are, you're not going to have the confidence to climb that mountain, to gradually get out of that valley where the enemy has attacked you. There ain't nothing like being attacked in the valley, because the one that's at the highest point is the one who usually wins. Amen? Now, if you're in the military, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want to be at the bottom shooting up. You want to be at the top shooting down. Amen? You don't want to be the one that's in the valley having to fight for you. There's nowhere, you can't run for cover. There is no cover. Who we are determines our behavior, our reactions, our confidence, our boldness, our witness to others, our relationships with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit today will be our focus. Turn to James chapter 1. Hold your spot in John 16 because we're going to come back there in just a second. Turn to James 1. We're going to go through James 1 today. Verse 16, it says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Who are we? We are the children of the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness of turning. Now, that alone is enough to just absolutely overwhelm your thinker. To know that there is no light that shines on our Father that causes him to cast a shadow. He is light. He is the light. His light is brighter. The glory of his light is brighter than the sun. And the sun is 300 and something thousand times bigger than the earth. I think that's right. It's gigantic. Y'all get the point, right? He is the Father of lights. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Does God give you half-hearted gifts? Does he give to you and say, "You know what, I hope this is good enough for you"? No. Our God doesn't give like that. It says every good gift and every perfect gift. Yes, we are able to walk in perfection. Why? Because we have perfect gifts. If our gifts weren't perfect, we wouldn't be able to walk in perfection. Now, does that mean we won't fall down, we won't sin? No, I'm not saying that at all. But the gifts that you have are good and they are perfect. From the Father, the greatest Father of them all, the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness of turning and no shadow of turning. And of his own will begat he us. He gave us an opportunity to become a child of the Most High God. He's given everyone opportunity. He gives the atheist opportunities. He gives the devil worshipers opportunities. He gives all the atheist scientists, the people that use science to prove that, you know, there is no God. He gives all of them opportunities. He even uses science to prove that he does exist. He gives all men. He gives even the terrorists that are against our country. He gives even the terrorist, the Muslim, the Buddhist, all of the other religions. He gives all of them opportunities to receive who he is, to receive the Father. Verse 19, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." I want to break those down. 1, 2, 3. I call them the 1, 2, 3. In this order. Now notice it says, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. My friends, if you are swift to hear and you are slow to speak, then you will be slow to wrath. If you can do those in those or in that order, you will be slow to wrath. Swift to hear. How many of you know you need to be good listeners? Amen. That's what people have said about Donald Trump, and now you can say what you want to about politics, but that guy's a good listener. People have said that about him. That's one of his greatest qualities, is being able to listen effectively. When you are in a conversation, be there. Be all there. When people are talking to you, I don't care if it's your children, and you know, sometimes with children, a lot of times we want to do this when our kids are talking to it, yeah, that's great, honey. And then you every now and then you give them the old courtesy look. Yep, that's great, man. That's good, man. I'm glad. Oh, you did good in math today. Oh, you did good in soccer today. Man, that's fantastic. You see how distracted you can be? You see how, I mean, if you can just look on this phone. Now, these phones are great. But if you look through the emojis, you'll see a little bit of devil in these phones. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Just scan the emojis. Pushing homosexuality. You got to be kidding me. On a phone? Don't get me wrong. They're great. There ain't nothing like having a business with technology. But there's a little bit of devil walking around everywhere. Amen? And he's looking for ways to talk to you all the time. You think the devil don't want to talk to you, you'd be sadly mistaken, because he loves to talk to the Christians. Amen? If there's one thing he wants to do, it's talk to you. All he's looking for is a willing person that's willing to listen to him. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak and slow to wrath. Not slow to hear and swift to speak and swift to wrath. Learn to listen. One of the my favorite things that I've heard here lately, and it's in the Bible, I don't know exactly where, but I've heard it said numerous times. Got to go find it. But it says, learn to do good. If there's one thing you need to learn in life, it's learn how to do good. If you can learn to do good, you will be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Because if you are not those things in that order, you will have a terrible testimony. You don't want to look like hell and call yourself a Christian. You want to call yourself a Christian and you want to act like it and talk like it. Amen? And be an effective listener and have the behavior and the character that exemplifies, it makes you exemplary as a Christian. The Holy Spirit, if you're taking notes, the number one, the Holy Spirit will improve your witness. You have to define who you are. Well, who are you? When you receive Jesus as your Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you. He is a person. He's not a dove. He's not wind. He moves like wind. He's not fire. He just quenches like fire. Anything that's in his presence, all hell, all sin, everything that is wrong in life, all unrighteousness is dissolved in the Holy Spirit fire. Amen? He's a fire. You walk boldly into the throne of glory, and fire quenches all your sin. All you have to do is confess it. He is a fire. You have to define who you are. The Holy Spirit will improve your witness. He will build your character and make you exemplary in this Jesus thing. John chapter 16, if you held your spot there, I want to throw a scripture at you right quick. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. What does that mean? That means when you don't know, he does. What you don't know, he will teach you. He doesn't give you half-hearted gifts. When you don't know and you ask, he said, I will give you. He said, when I leave and I send the Spirit of truth, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you. What does that mean? That means he will take your hand and show you the way. He's like those, you know, those guides that take you on those deer, those big elk hunts and those big, you know, the big deer hunts or whatever. You know, if you go to Africa and you hunt the rhino or you hunt the you know, the whatever's over there, the antelope or whatever. You have to have a guide because they know what? They know where they are. You don't know where they are. They know where they are. And people pay big money to go do that kind of stuff. Well, I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost is free. He don't charge you anything. He's free. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever shall... whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What does that mean? That means the Holy Ghost is a prophet. He will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth, and he will show you all of the good things. And he says, if you get off this straight and narrow path, he said, this is going to happen. He said, but I will take your hand and I will guide you to the truth. If there's one thing you need to be hunting for in life, it's the truth. Amen? Ain't nothing like the truth. There ain't the biggest elk out there, the biggest whitetail for all you deer hunters. It does not compare to the truth. Amen? Because the truth can set you free. It can set you free. You can skip a deer hunt this year, but you can't skip poverty. Because poverty will come on you if you don't know the truth. You don't get to skip it and say, well, I just don't want to hunt this year. I think I'll skip it this year. No, if you don't do things right, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. But he will guide you into all truth. In verse 14, he says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He shows it to you. He says, if you do this, I will do this for you. If you are willing, the Bible says, and obedient. Those two things. You have to be willing, first of all, to do it. And then as you do it, you have to be obedient to follow through all the time with it. Doing it all the time. Always seeking the truth. Always looking for the Holy Ghost to guide you. Be obedient. Go into his presence daily. If there's one thing you can't skip every day, it's an opportunity to sit down with the Holy Ghost. Don't skip that. I understand our lives get busy. I understand. I've missed them before too. You get busy, you get focused on other things, and you just forget. You get distracted. You wake up, your kids are yelling at you. Amen. Your kids are yelling at you. Your kids are yelling. Where's my breakfast? Where's my backpack? Where's my shoes? Where's my jersey? What am I going to eat for lunch? Hold on. Give me a second to think about it for just a little. Let me wake up. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Don't be so quick in your anger. There's nothing wrong with being angry. There is no sin with being angry. It's what you do with it that matters. Be angry and sin not. Verse 21 in James 1. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Number two, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to pick up and what to put down. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Amen. The Holy Ghost will tell you what to pick up and what to put down. He says, lay aside. You have to remember, when you become a Christian, the old man passes away and you become a new man. He said, lay aside. You know how often you have to remind yourself of that? Until you get deliverance from operating in the same old sin all the time, guess how many times you're going to have to lay it aside? Every stinking time. Amen? Every time. There are Christians that still struggle with certain sins. I understand that. You understand that. But until you get delivered from it, you're going to have to lay it aside every time you think about it. You're going to have to pray without ceasing. See, in the Old Testament times, they had certain times of day they'd pray. But Paul said to pray without ceasing. You don't have to have a religious thing with the prayer. You don't have to wake up, do it at this time. Lunchtime rolls around, you're eating your sandwich, pray again. When dinner time rolls around, eat your sirloin, eat your potatoes, go pray again. No, he said pray without ceasing. Not just pray before your meal, pray without ceasing. Anytime you think of it, anytime the devil comes to you and tries to put thoughts in your mind, you got to lay it aside. You got to learn what belongs and what doesn't. And if you can't decide what belongs and what doesn't, you're going to struggle for the rest of your life. You've got to learn what belongs. Because if there's one thing there that doesn't belong, it changes the whole atmosphere. It changes your day. It changes your attitude. If something's there that does not belong, it changes your attitude. You have to know what belongs and what doesn't. Lay aside all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness. You can put anything in the definition of naughty. There's all kinds of things that you could put with that. Just put your own. I mean, whatever you're struggling with. Lay apart all blank and blank. And receive with meekness the engrafted word. What does engrafted mean? That means it is written on your heart. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit starts writing the truth on your heart. So that why? You have a change of heart instead of just a change of mind. So you can have a change of mind, but there ain't nothing like having a change of heart. Because if you have the change of heart, you'll have a change of mind. Changing your heart is the goal. Changing your mind is just icing on the cake. That's the cookies with the milk, amen? That's the cheesecake. Yeah. That's your sirloin or whatever you want to call it, baby. You can change your mind, but if you don't change your heart, you're still going to be the same old you. There are tons of Christians, thousands. I was one of them who got saved and still lived like hell. Because why? I didn't have a change of heart. I had a change of mind. What you possess is what defines you. What you possess can save you or destroy you. What do you possess? If you're a professional athlete, you possess athletic skill. It's what defines you. If you're a professional golfer, you possess the ability to play golf, and it defines you. What are people going to say about you when you leave this earth? What is the one thing that is going to define you? One thing. If you know, we don't like to think about death, but let me just say, for instance here, what's your gravestone going to say? Now, we pray the rapture happens before we get to the gravestone, but if you had a gravestone and you died before the rapture happened, what would that gravestone say? What would it say on it? What would be the one thing that defines you? If you're Michael Jordan, it would say professional basketball. If you're Tiger Woods, it would say professional golf. If you're J.J. Watt, it would say professional football killer. Destroyer. You could put muscles next to that. But you know what else is great about him? He's a giver. How does that guy not make Time's Man of the Year? With all that he did for Houston when they flooded. He said, I'm more than just an athlete. He said, I'm going to do something to help somebody. There's not a millionaire on this planet that will tell you. I don't care if they're saved or not saved. There's not a one on this planet that will tell you that they wouldn't want to do it ever again without being a giver. They all are givers. All of them. They're all givers. They will say, that's the one thing that makes me who I am. Being a millionaire, the funnest part is the giving part. And you don't even have to be saved to be givers. It's the love that's on the inside of them that causes them to give. They don't know that Jesus is the author of the love that's on the inside of them. They just know they like to give. What you possess is what defines you. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only deceiving your own selves. Did you know you can deceive yourself? You ever tried to justify something? That's deceiving yourself. You ever messed up and tried to justify it? You're deceiving yourself. How about just accepting the fact that you messed up and say, dadgummit, I'm sorry, I really messed this up. I apologize. Don't deceive yourselves. That spirit of deception can be on anybody. When you mess up, the first thing you start thinking is, like, how can I justify what I did, or how can I give an excuse to explain why it happened that way? That's the devil's tongue. Be you doers of the word. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. He forgets what it is that defines him. Like I said last week, we had fun last week, didn't we? Did y'all have fun? Do you know, we didn't hear not one negative thing come out of anybody's mouth when we did that little exercise last week. If you would have, I would have corrected you. But it was what's on the inside of you that said, I am these things. When we were kidding around last week about Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. When you look into the mirror, do it with boldness. When you look at yourself in the mirror, all you're seeing in the mirror is who you are as a flesh person. Try to see what's on the inside of what's in the mirror. That's where you're going to be able to define who you really are. God's definition of you is greater than the definition of yourself. Don't ever forget that. Now, if we can look in the mirror, if we can look in the mirror every day, because we all do this, even me, and I don't have a whole lot of hair, so I'm working on it, you know. I'm anointing it with oil and tea tree and frankincense and myrrh. I want Fabio hair, baby. Go ahead, laugh. I don't mind. We got 30 more minutes. When you look in that mirror, if you can look in that mirror every day and fix your hair and your eyebrows and your lips and your nose hairs and your eyebrows and your eyelashes and your hair, and you know what it's supposed to look like. Now, we spend thousands of dollars. Now, if you go your whole lifetime, you're going to spend thousands of dollars. If you're a woman, you're going to spend thousands of dollars on your hair. If we know what it's supposed to look like when we leave the mirror and go into the public places, then we should know what our spirit man is supposed to look like. If we can spend hours and hours in front of the mirror, for me, it's not that long. It's wet it down, dry it off, walk away. But if we can spend thousands of hours in a lifetime in front of a mirror fixing up our flesh, surely we can spend moments and minutes in the prayer closet to fix what we see in the mirror. Amen? Because what you possess defines you. And what's on the inside of you, believe this or not, if you can fix what's on the inside of you, it will start changing what it looks like on the outside of you. That's a proven fact. If you say you're ugly, you're going to be ugly. If you say you're beautiful, guess what? You're going to be beautiful. It has been proven that you can even do this to plants. You can talk positive. They've actually done studies. They put plants in a greenhouse. Same soil, same plant. Different atmosphere. They'd put negative talk, repetitive negative talk into one greenhouse. They put positive talk into another greenhouse. And guess what? The plants that heard the positive talk, guess what? They grew. And the other ones rotted, or they didn't grow as fast. Now, if a plant can do it, surely we can. Amen? They're made of dirt, and so are we. It's easy to dress up the outside, but how good are you at dressing up the inside? How much time do you spend beautifying who you are on the inside of you? Because that's the most important. That's what matters the most. Verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law. Why is it the perfect law? Because we serve the God of perfection. He gives perfect gifts. It's the perfect law. The perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Number three, I think, yes. When defined properly, when you define who you are properly, the Holy Spirit guarantees your success. If you can define who you are on the inside, the Holy Spirit guarantees your success. You have 100% chance of succeeding. Only you can mess this up. Only you can mess it up. He says, if you will do this and you do this, he said, I'm the Spirit of truth and I will guide you into all truth. I will guide you towards success. If you do this and you do this and you do this, I guarantee you, you will be successful. You have a 100% chance. Now, you have a guaranteed 50-50 chance. That's automatic. Those are better odds than you can find anywhere. You have a 50-50 chance automatically. But you have a 100% chance if you follow through with everything God tells you to do. 100%. Turn over to chapter 4 right quick. Verse 2. I'm going to read the Amplified. He said, you are jealous and you covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. But in parentheses, if you read the Amplified, it says, to hate is to murder. It doesn't mean you shoot somebody and kill them. It says, hate is to murder, as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger, are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you find in war, you fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with the wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, is to spend it in sensual pleasures. Now, is this saying that you can't have nice stuff? It's not saying that at all. What he's saying specifically to this people, to these people, is you have the wrong heart. If you will have the right heart, then these things that you ask, you will have, and they won't be because of evil lust or desire. He says, you are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Now that is a slap in the face right there. If you do not operate according to God's way of doing things, that should be a wake-up call for you right there. He says, do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. If you are more concerned with making sure that people see the outside and everything that you are, or you're always trying to manipulate or deceive in order to get what you want, then you have made yourself an enemy to God. He cannot prosper you. You have had a 50-50 shot and you failed. Friends of the world are enemies to God. I've also heard people say, well, I've heard people say this. I need to go find myself. I don't know who I am. You ever heard that before? I just don't know who I am. I don't know who you are anymore. I don't know who I am. If you watch Seinfeld, you've heard the old statement, it's not you, it's me. You're darn right, it's you. It's not you, it's me. It's absolutely you. We are responsible for our own destiny. Not somebody else. It's not somebody else's responsibility to get you to the promised land. If you've ever heard somebody say that, you know, they can't find themselves, they don't know who they are, then they're reading the wrong book. You know how many books there are out there? Have you seen the yoga classes now where you can cuss and swear and they give you all the alcohol that you can handle? And then you can just go out on, you can go crazy and just release all your anger. Sounds like a class all of us should just, you know, sign right up for, baby. I'm in. Unlimited alcohol, and you can just act crazy and live like hell. Well, that sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? when all they have to do is just go to the prayer closet. You don't need alcohol. You don't need to swear. You don't need to let out your anger. You can let out your anger. You can cuss if you want. I would prefer you not. But you know what about what's great about our God is he can handle anything you're willing to throw. He can handle anything that you're willing to throw at him. You don't need to go find yourself. You just need to define yourself. You ain't lost. You don't need to go find yourself. You ain't lost. The Holy Ghost is anywhere you want him to be. He doesn't have to leave one room to go to another. He doesn't have to quit talking to you to go talk to somebody else. He can talk to everybody on this planet at the exact same time. I mean, that's just amazing. Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, be anywhere, know everything, and handle every situation you're willing to throw at him. And he doesn't have to stop a conversation or leave a meeting with somebody in order to come talk to you. That is the God we serve. I mean, just the very thought of that is enough to overwhelm the thinker. To know that he's so magnificent and he's willing. He's a God that is willing to come talk to you. He doesn't say, hold on, wait just a second. I got to handle, you know, Billy over here in Europe. He's having a hard time at the job. They're about to fire him, give him the pink slip. Hold on just a second. I'll get to you in a second. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to stop a meeting with somebody or a conversation to come have a talk with you. And you don't need swear alcohol yoga to get through it. Amen? I knew that stuff was of the devil. I knew it. I mean, they're not doing anything different that God has been telling people to do for thousands of years. Meditate. You know what the definition of meditate is? It means to mutter to yourself. It doesn't mean to go, police academy. Yumma, 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 yumma. Remember when they tried to scare him out of the van? Yumma, 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 yumma. Turn on the chainsaw. You know, it ain't like that. Meditation is not spooky spiritual. You can get in your prayer closet and you can sit there quietly just like this. And you can talk to yourself. You know what? There ain't nothing like talking to yourself. You know what? Because there can't nobody argue with you. Nobody. Nobody can argue with you. And you can sit there and you can meditate. You don't have to be in the downward dog pose. You don't have to be in the, I don't even know what this one's called, but. Warrior. Okay. And you don't have to. Hold on. I'm almost there. Superman. Yeah, see? I don't have to go to yoga class. I can do it right here in church. And if y'all want to do it, feel free. You don't have to be in a certain pose or a certain mindset to pull it off. He's there. I'm not trying to speak this on you, but you could be upside down in a car in a car accident and God will meet you right there. You could be at the bottom of the lake drowning and be dead and God would be there. He can meet you in any circumstance. Whatever it is you're dealing with. Doesn't matter where or what or how or when, he's there. Or even why. God's not going to say, well, I told you. Told you. You're going to be like, why am I here? He's going to be like, I don't need to explain to that. You know, I don't have to explain. God's not going to throw that in your face. He's not going to throw condemnation in your face. He's not going to explain the why or the how or the what. All we know is that there's a problem and he's willing to solve it. You don't have to explain it to him. He already knows. He was there when you did it. Amen. He knows what you're doing. Verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy? Now that scripture right there alone, that one scripture alone right there can change your whole life. Let me read the Amplified. He says, or do you suppose that the scripture is speaking to no purpose? It says, the spirit whom He has cause to dwell in us, yearns over us, and he yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. Do you know that the Lord Jesus is jealous for you? Do you know that the Holy Spirit lusts and is envious for your heart? He wants you to want him so bad. He wants to be your guide. He wants to help you. He lusts with envy. It says, do ye think that the scripture says in vain that the Spirit dwells in us, that dwelleth in us, lust to envy? He longs to be a part of your life. But he gives more grace, verse 6. But he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is your 50-50 right here. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning. Does this mean that, you know, since you have joy, you're supposed to all of a sudden just go into weeping mode and, you know, downward dog in yoga, and you're supposed to just weep and mourn? And it's not saying that at all. He's talking to a people. And he's saying, if you don't resist the devil and if you don't turn away from your sin, this is going to happen. But he said, if you want to, this is what you need to do. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit longs to be close to you. He said, let your joy turn to mourning. Weep and cry out to the Lord. Draw near to him. That is one of the most important scriptures. I learned that scripture when I was a kid. I didn't even know where it was when I was a kid. I just knew that the Bible said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He didn't say he'll draw near to you, and then you draw near to him. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need you in heaven, but he wants you to. He wants you there. He doesn't need your presence. He doesn't need your worship. He wants it, but he don't need it. He wants it. That's what the angels in heaven are for, worshiping angels. That's what Satan was for before he got tossed out. He was the choir director. He was the one that when he walked, he made beautiful music. Can you imagine walking and sounding like Celine Dion? Amen? Woo, just, you know, the power of love. You know, just go on with it. Amen? Just walking. He didn't have to open his mouth. He just walked, and beautiful instruments just sent up praise in the heavens, and there's angels that are still there that didn't follow him when he left. But he said, if you will draw near to me, I will then draw too near to you. In that order. There is an order in God's way of doing things. You don't get number two before doing number one. You got to do number one before you go to step number two. And so on and so forth. You don't get all the luxury and the glory and all the magnificence if you're not willing to do what he tells you to do. Now, does that mean you have to work your way into heaven? Absolutely not. But there are certain guidelines and restrictions. They say, if you don't do this, you will not get this. If you don't receive Jesus, guess what? You don't get to go to heaven. If you're not a tither, if you're not one that likes to give financially, God's not going to help you in your finances. He just won't. Pastor said one time, he said, I heard the goofiest prayer one time. He said, I was sitting in, you know, and this is a well-known minister. He said, I'm sitting out there in the crowd, and the pastor gets up there and says, Lord, bless all those that gave and all of those that didn't give. Well, why give? Why, if you're going to bless the ones that don't give and bless the ones that give, then why give? If you can get the same blessings that the people that gave and not have to give, you get to keep your money and get to go shopping. Amen? Spend $300 at HEB. I want to do something special today, just like we, kind of like we did last week, but I want to do something. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Give me some music, Cam. Before we do the salvation, I want to do something for just a few minutes here. And for all of you who have not drawn near to God this week, I want to give you an opportunity right now. I want to let the Holy Spirit move in here for just a second. I won't keep you very long. I want to give you an opportunity to just sit there. You don't have to say anything. If you want to pray out loud, go ahead. If you want to pray to yourself, go ahead. I want to give you an opportunity to draw near to Him right now. Anything you're dealing with, I want you to draw near to Him right now. That doesn't mean I'm going to ask you to come up here. I might. I don't know what God's doing right now, but I want to give you an opportunity to draw near to Him. I want to give you an opportunity to get into His presence right now. If you've messed up, if you've sinned, confess your sins to Him right now. Say, Lord, forgive me. Just say it. Just say it to yourself or mutter it to yourself. This is meditation right now. This is your opportunity to meditate or to draw near to Him right now. There's no rules when it comes to drawing near to Him. If you want to sing to yourself, sing. If you want to come up here, just like Sean did, if you want to come up here and lay your knees down here on this carpet and you want to get at the altar, go ahead. There's no rules here. Learn to worship the Lord with all your heart. He said, when you cry out to me, I will extend my hand to you. Yes. Let's see. Hold on. Yes. Hold on just a second. There we go.
Thus saith the Lord. You've heard my word this morning. Now bury it deep in your heart so that your life will change and move forward in my ways, in my will that wants everything good for you.
Yes.
Thus saith the Lord, I loved you first.
Yes, in that order.
And now you love me and trust me. And walk with me. And I praise you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Yes. Yes. Amen. We are able to love Him because He first loved us. He is the creator of love, not us. He is the creator of love. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The Lord says, be willing and obedient. Be willing and obedient today. And He said, I will stretch forth my hand to you. There is no substitute for the truth. There is no substitute for the truth. If some of y'all are trying to find alternative ways to be who you are and trying to define yourself through other reading material, I should say, maybe through books. I don't know who this is talking to, but I want you to know that there is no substitute for the Word. I'm not saying don't read books. What I'm saying is don't try to find the truth in the books that are written by the world. Be willing and obedient today. Your 50-50 chance relies upon you. He said, but I guarantee your success. I will guarantee your success. Declare in Jesus' name that this body will be healed completely and that her mind will be healed completely, and that you may be willing and obedient to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Don't come to me, the Lord says, half-heartedly. Said, I gave you perfect gifts. Receive them and use them. And I pray in Jesus' name that the supernatural will start operating in your life, Sean. That you be willing and obedient in all areas of your life. And that the Lord will bring you glory and righteousness. So much that there will be no denying that it is the Lord and not the world. Says, do things in order, and I will bring you blessings. As I said earlier, as it relates to both of these people, weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. There's nothing more powerful than wisdom. There's nothing more powerful than knowing the wisdom of the Lord. Wait, what'd you just say?
Ready to go home.
What you just said is an open door. You're our home, brother. You just ain't knocked on the door. You gonna be okay? Good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Love you, brother. Knock and it shall be opened. Knock and the door will be opened. You are the head and not the tail. You are the first and not the last. You are above and not beneath. He said, I want to go home. There ain't nothing like going home to the Lord. Amen. There ain't nothing like walking into the king's palace. It was a good word today. I actually wrote that phrase down in my notes 2 weeks ago about the Lord loving us first. I read it yesterday. I got to read something to y'all, just right quick. In John chapter 19, verse 41, I wrote this down. This is the words that I wrote. Virgin womb, virgin tomb. And when you think about Jesus, he went into a virgin womb and into a virgin tomb. When he was buried in that tomb, nobody had ever been buried there. And I wrote, sometimes God gives me poetry, and I guess you could call this poetry. Conceived in a womb where no man had sown seed and was buried in a tomb he would not need. I'm telling you, I am somewhat of a poet. At heart, I like scentsy oils and lotion, long walks on the beach, and blueberry yogurt. Conceived in a womb where no man had sown seed and was buried in a tomb that he would not need. Doesn't even need it. Man put him in there. He didn't need that tomb. He could have stayed on that cross for 3 days. But according to Jewish tradition, they had to take him down. That's why they went and got him. They put him in a tomb. He walked into two virgin things, I guess you could call them. A womb and a tomb. He left heaven and existed in a virgin womb for 9 months and stayed in a tomb for 3 days. I just got revelation, thus saith the Lord, the rate of growth became faster. He was only in the womb for nine months, but he was only in the tomb for 3 days. He could have been there for 9 months. His rate of growth was progressed. God wasn't going to leave him in there longer than 3 days. This is Jesus we're talking about. Talk about a man who defined himself. He did so much that they couldn't even, if they would have had iPhones, we would have got it all. But he did so much that the writers couldn't write it all down fast enough. There's probably more books out there, but who knows? He did so much in such a short period of time. And God didn't wait until he was some old man for him to be crucified. He was the perfect and spotless lamb. God never took the old sheep. He never told the Jewish people by tradition, take the old sheep and put it on the altar in the Old Testament times. No, he said, take the firstborn. Take the one without spot or blemish. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're not saved today, I want to give you an opportunity today to receive Jesus, and we'll get out of here. Today is your day to receive Jesus. If you don't know him, receive him today. I'm going to pray a prayer with you. The whole crowd's going to pray this prayer with you. If you've never received Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer, and I want you to mean what you say. And I believe that if you pray this prayer and mean what you say, that you will be saved and you will be going to heaven when you leave this earth. I want you to pray this prayer with me right like this. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins. I receive you, Jesus, today. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you receive Jesus for the very first time, and I'm talking about if you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior, I want you on the count of three, just raise your hand, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you received Jesus for the very first time today, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three and let me know that was you. Ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Okay. All right, well, look at me. Man, I just prayed. Man, that was fun. Golly, that was fun. I love seeing what God can do in your lives. Not just mine, but in yours. I get more fulfillment out of watching what changes in y'all's life and hearing the testimonies. What we did last week, that was fun. I was excited to hear all these good things come out of your mouths. You know why those things came out of your mouth? Because you know who you are. You have defined yourself, and you know who you are in Christ. Don't ever forget who you are. You are a child of the Most High God. If you ever forget who you are, read Deuteronomy 28. Don't ever forget who you are in Christ and what He's done for you. Amen. A couple of quick announcements, and Betsy will come close me out here.